Title: Clip Gain Before Processing at 170 BPM Intermediate. All right, let's lock in a super practical mixing habit for drum and bass at 170 BPM. Setting clip gain before you touch your processing, because at this tempo, everything is happening fast. Transients are sharp, low end is constant, and we tend to stack heavy chains, saturation, compression, limiting, maybe multiband, maybe distortion on bass. And here's the problem. If the level going into those plugins is inconsistent, your results will be inconsistent. Your compressor grabs harder on one snare than another. Your saturator suddenly gets fizzy. Your drum bus starts pumping only in certain bars. It's not random, it's level. So today you're building one repeatable workflow. Trim first, then process. That's it. But it's the difference between wrestling your mix and driving it. Let's set the session up. Set your project tempo to 170 BPM. Then make three groups: drums, bass, and music. Inside drums, you might have kick, snare, hats, perk, break. Inside bass, split it into sub and mid or res. Music is everything else like pads, stabs, effects, atmos. And on the master, keep it clean for now. No limiter. I know it's tempting, but today the goal is headroom first, loudness later. We want everything reacting predictably. Now, quick definition. What does clip gain before processing actually mean in Ableton? You've basically got two tools, and they do different jobs. First, clip gain or clip volume for audio clips. You click the audio clip, go down to clip view, and adjust gain. That changes the level before it hits any devices on that track. This is your best friend for one-shots, resampled audio, break loops, fills, edits, anything where the audio itself is just too hot or too quiet. Second, utility as the first device on a track. That's your trim knob. Works for audio and MIDI. If you've got a synth, a drum rack, a rack with macros, or a track where you want a consistent input level hitting the chain, utility first is the move. Here's a simple teacher rule. Clip gain is for fixing the audio itself. Utility first is for standardizing the track's input so the whole chain behaves. Now let's talk targets. We're not worshipping numbers, but having a target makes decisions faster, especially in DNB. For pre-processing levels, aim roughly like this. Kick and snare one-shots peaking around minus 10 to minus 60 BFS, with a really common sweet spot around minus 8. Break loops peaking around minus 12 to minus 8. Mid-bass or res peaking around minus 12 to minus 6 depending how dense it is. Sub often peaking around minus 12 to minus 8. The sub will feel loud even when the meter looks modest, because low-end is energy heavy. And on the master, while you're mixing, try to keep peaks around minus 6 dBFS. That's your breathing room. If you keep that headroom, your buses stay stable and you've got space for later loudness. Cool. Now we build the mix anchors. Kick and snare first. Start with your kick track. Solo it. If it's an audio one-shot, adjust clip gain until the kick peaks around minus 8. If it's coming from a drum rack or a sampler, put a utility first and trim there until it hits that target. Now, optional kick chain with stock devices, just to give you a direction. Utility first, just for trim, a Q8, with a tiny boxy cut if needed around 250 to 400 HC, maybe 2 to 4 dB, not surgical. Then drum bus, a little drive, maybe 2 to 6, boom very carefully. Because in DNB the sub region gets crowded fast. Transients up a bit, plus 5 to plus 15 if you want more snap. But the key isn't the chain. The key is the level feeding the chain. Because if your kick is 6 dB hotter in another section or another project, drum bus is going to feel like a different plugin. Now snare. Same concept. Trim the snare so it peaks around minus 8 to minus 6. Then process. A solid stock snare chain. Utility first for trim. AQ8. High pass around 90 to 140 HC so it's not fighting the kick and sub. Then choose your presence. Either a bit of body around 180 to 220 or crack around 2 to 4K, depending on the sample. Then glue compressor. Attack around 3 to 10 ms. Release 0.1 to 0.3 seconds or auto. Ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. And here's why the clip gain step matters. If your snare is way louder than yesterday, glue doesn't gently shape anymore. It clamps. Your snare flattens or gets clicky, or you start compensating with EQ, and then you're in a whole spiral. Trim first, and your compressor settings actually mean something. Next, break loops. This is where a lot of DNB mixes secretly fall apart. Drop in an Amen-style break or whatever break you're using. In clip view, set warp to beats mode. Preserve transients, and get it locked to your groove. Often 1/16 works if you want it tight. Now before you add any saturation, ek, compression, any of it. Pull the clip gain down until that break peaks around minus 12 to minus 8, because breaks have sneaky spikes. Usually snare hits inside the loop. If you don't tame those, your drum bus compressor is going to pump on random bars and you'll think your bus chain is broken. It's not broken. The input is inconsistent. Then process the break if you want. Utility for fine trim. EQ8. High pass around 120 to 180 so it's not fighting the kick and sub. Notch harshness around 3 to 6k if it bites. Drum bus for drive and crunch. Start small. Blue compressor. Attack around 10 ms. Release auto 1 to 4 dB gain reduction depending how wild it is. Saturator with soft clip on. Maybe 1 to 4 dB drive. Teacher move. After each processor, bypass and loudness match. Don't let it got louder trick your brain into it got better. If you add saturation and it sounds better only because it's louder, you're going to overcook it and steal headroom. Now bass. This is huge in DNB because bass processing is usually distortion heavy, and distortion is extremely level dependent. Pre-gain isn't just gain staging, it's tone control. Start with the sub. Keep it clean and stable. Put utility first. Adjust so it's controlled, not slamming. Then EQ8. Low pass around 80 to 120. Keep the sub pure. If there's mud, check around 200 to 300. Optional. Sidechain compressor triggered from the kick. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Fast attack around 0.5 to 3 ms. Release 50 to 120 ms. Tune it to the groove. At 170, timing matters. If the release is wrong, you'll feel the sub wobble in a bad way. Then the mid or restrack. This is where the clip gain habit becomes a superpower. Put utility first and trim down so your distortion is controllable. Then hit your color stages. Saturator with drive maybe 4 to 10 dB. Soft clip-on. Amp if you want, subtle. Clean or bass modes can work. EQ8. High pass around 80 to 120 to protect the subspace. Tame fizz with a gentle shelf down around 8 to 12k if it's harsh. Multiband dynamics if needed. Gently, don't crush everything. Sometimes just controlling the mid-band is enough if the reese is poking out. And listen closely to this. If you change the level before saturator or amp, you change the tone. That's not a mistake. That's the point. In DNB, gain staging is sound design. Find the input level where the harmonics speak without turning into sandpaper, and then fine-tune drive and output after. Next up, drum bus gain staging. This is how you keep the whole drum section punchy without accidental pumping. Group your drums into the drums group. On that group, put utility first. Now loop the busiest 8 bars of your track, like the main drop, where everything is in. Trim the drums group so it peaks around minus 8 to minus 6. Then add bus processing if you want. Blue compressor first, ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 ms, release auto. Only 1 to 2 dB gain reduction. Keep the punch. Drum bus for a little more impact. Drive 2 to 5. Transients plus 5 to plus 10. Limiter optional as a safety only. Ceiling minus 1. Gain at 0. You're not trying to make it loud, you're catching freak peaks. Now let's talk arrangement, because at 170 BPM, this is where clip gain quietly saves your entire mix. DNB drops are dense. Hats, rides, breaks, bass, fills, crashes, all entering at once. And if you just bring in a new element at full level, your bus processing changes behavior instantly. That's when your snare suddenly feels smaller, or your drum bus pumps, or your bass distortion sounds harsher in the second drop than the first. So here's the workflow tip. Before the drop, clip gain the new elements down a little so the drop doesn't blow up your processing. For example, a crash or ride entering at bar 33, clip gain it down 3 to 6 dB first, then EQ. New bass patch in the second 16, trim it so it hits the same perceived level as patch before distortion and compression. Then your chain stays stable and your automation becomes creative, not corrective. Let's also cover common mistakes so you can catch them fast. 1. Mixing into clipping tracks. If the meter is red, everything downstream becomes unpredictable, especially distortion and bus compression. 2. Turning down the fader instead of clip gain. The fader is after processing. If your saturator is getting hit too hard, lowering the fader doesn't change the distortion character. You need to trim before the plugin. 3. Ignoring break loop spikes. Breaks have hidden transient peaks that yank your drum bus around. Fix with clip gain on the offending clip or slice. 4. Overcompressing because the input is too hot. The compressor isn't bad. The input level is wrong. 5. No loudness matching when you /B. If you don't match loudness, you're mostly just choosing louder. Now, some extra coach level tricks to level up. 1. Standardize plugin behavior, not just avoid clipping. Put a meter or spectrum on tracks that change a lot, like break edits or resampled basses. Scan the loudest 8 bars, trim with clip gain first, then set thresholds and drive. And when you swap samples later, retrim before touching the chain. You'll land close instantly. 2. The crest factor check, a quick sanity test for transients. Put a glue compressor on the drum group with ratio 2:1, attack 10 ms, release auto. Lower the threshold until you see around 2 dB of gain reduction. If it suddenly jumps to 5 or 8 dB only on certain bars, something spiky is happening. Break slices, crashes too hot, layered snare flams. Don't change the whole group threshold. Clip gain the offender. 3. Trim. Color. Catch staging for aggressive chains. Utility trim to set behavior, then your tone plugins like saturator or drum bus, then a gentle catch like a limiter or soft clip just to grab rare peaks. That way you don't have to crush the entire signal just to control one rogue transient. 4. Parallel processing that doesn't lie to you. Parallel chains add level fast, which feels exciting, but it steals headroom. Pull the parallel return down until it's obviously too quiet, then creep it up. A good parallel return often sounds kind of wrong when soloed, but perfect in the full mix. Now let's do a quick practice exercise so you can actually hear this. Load a kick one shot, a snare one shot, an amen style break loop, and a respace. Set tempo to 170 and build an 8 bar loop. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, break loop underneath, res doing 8ths or 16ths. On the res track, insert utility, then saturator with drive at 8 dB and soft clip on. Now do an A/B test. First, set utility gain to minus 12 dB. Adjust the saturator output so it's not too quiet. Then set utility gain to 0 dB with the same saturator settings. Listen for the grit and harshness, low mid bloom, transient bite, and how the bass sits against the snare. Print or bounce both versions and pick the one that fits the mix without getting brittle. And that's the big takeaway. Pre-gain changes how your processing behaves, and in DNB, that means it changes the vibe. Let's recap. Clip gain, or utility first, is the foundation of predictable processing in 170 BPM drum and bass. This audio version is shortened for playback.